America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
From Rob Ken, are you sure Barry isn't saying that because he doesn't even know if he's going to be back next year? Good question by Rob Poe. Tone Master General.
I imagine he's operating as if he's assuming that he will be here, or, you know, what's the point otherwise?
Well, if we want to get existential about it, none of us know if we're going to be here next year. I mean, you know. I know that this isn't... to talk about this would be fruitless. Can we just play the back and forth here? Well, it's not even a back and forth. The thought partner explanation that Daryl asked a question, basically, like, if you ever seen Office Space, like, what exactly does he do here? What exactly is Paul DiBodesta's role? And it's something I've been trying to figure out for, has he been here a decade? Damn near a decade. This is Daryl asking the question to Andrew Barry, and Andrew Barry's answer.
As you strategize to figure out a way to fix this, whether it's the roster, whether it's the salary cap, where does Paul DiBodesta fit in this process? A lot of people still have questions about, like, what he does and the amount of weight he carries behind the scenes.
Yeah, I think you've heard me say before, Paul's an incredible thought partner. He has great executive experience across multiple sports. He's very smart, very empirical. You know, and he's a very valuable member of the organization.
Andrew sounds like me trying to explain why I was hanging out with the weed smoker across the street to my parents when I was 13.
Did you call him a thought partner?
I did.
Those guys are great thought partners.
They are great thought partners. There's a lot of things you think about. I mean, that time we were building model airplanes down that basement. Got that pot smoke going. There are a lot of different thoughts going out there, man. A lot of problems we were solving in the world at that time. I mean, that's what he sounds like. I still don't know what the guy does. But you know what? It's this simple where it's like, hey, don't take the focus off of Andrew here. Got to put the focus on Andrew. What can Andrew do to... I mean, a lot of people are looking towards the future here, and I don't know if that future includes him. What do you think he can do to save his job? I mean, is it as simple as winning football games? Like, if they all of a sudden turn it around, which, I mean... You can wish in one hand and you know what in the other. But if they're playing New Orleans, okay, New Orleans is a 2-7 team. Denver's got their head above water. They're not that great. You kind of got a buzzsaw waiting on you with a couple of these teams. But, you know, say they save a few of these games. So that's simple for Andrew?
No, it's not at all. I mean, I think I look at a 5-year track record of drafts. That's the first thing. Obviously, you have trades as well.
Yeah.
And he got off to the great start with the Amari Cooper trade, but... Overall, I thought the Elijah Moore trade was a disaster when they made it. I did not like it. I was in the minority. Everybody was to the point. People were so high on Andrew Barry at that point that they basically just accepted everything he did and thought it was going to be a great move.
It was an elixir for me, yes.
I did not like that move. Jerry Jeudy, I did not like that move, but not because I thought Jerry Jeudy was some terrible receiver, and he's not. He does good things, but I thought the opportunity cost of not getting that position figured out in the draft was going to be enormous. Yeah. And I still don't, man. If Jerry Jeudy is their number one wide receiver next year, I think you're in trouble. I think you've got one of the worst wide receiving cores in the league. That's just how and that's even if Tillman continues on what he's doing. I still think it's not a great wide receiving core because you need difference makers. You need guys that are total game changers. I see Judy and he just falls down when he catches the ball or just steps out of bounds. So those are the trades. The drafts, I think for me, the drafts speak for themselves. I think he has had average to below average drafts, you know, since day one in this league. And when you pay Myles Garrett, when you pay Deshaun Watson, when you commit this money to the offensive line, you need to strike gold in the draft. And I just don't think he's done it. JOK is a phenomenal selection. He's great. Outside of that, I'm just not seeing
We keep hearing
a bunch of huge value over. You got to remember, it's not just can a guy play or not. You got to compare it to other teams and their talent.
Yeah.
And we don't really do that. We don't really investigate the other GMs around the league and their players. But routinely, when I see teams up against us, like those NFC East teams, when we went through the gauntlet of that schedule, or the Raiders, I'm like, man, we're supposed to have so much more talent, but yeah. I'm seeing their players I've never heard of do a lot better than our players that we obsess about.
The Raiders have actually turned firing guys at the end of October over the last 3 years into a tradition. Whether it be a head coach or an offensive coordinator, it's actually become a tradition for them. And I look back on that, I go, gosh, you lost to them. They're calling for Daboll's head over in New York. You lost to that football team. You were able to beat the Jaguars because it seems that Doug Peterson can't get out of his own way with the Jaguars. Okay, fine. That's another bad team. You got dismantled to begin the season because you weren't prepared to start the season against Dallas. Dallas is not a good football team right now, and their back's going on the IR, at least it seems, right? You have so many of these things going against you. And you know, we keep hearing, and one of the things I want to say about him is, well, you know, you don't get first-round picks. Who made that decision? So when you get rid of first-round picks to trade for a player, you are also putting more pressure on yourself to hit on mid to later round picks. So if you don't have a first-round pick or a first and a second-round pick in 2023 because of a trade you've made, well, then you better hit on Cedric Tillman when you hit on that pick. And right now, hey, maybe he's starting to come to fruition. But what about your other third-round pick in Siaki Ika, who's on the practice squad? DeJuan Jones has done great. Isaiah McGuire, we'll see. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, I think that he may be a career backup. We'll see it. Cam Mitchell, that's good. Luke Whippler, that's good. Hey, these guys, if Luke Whippler could stay healthy, these guys, they're good. Are they enough to save everything? Because now you're 2-7, and everybody just keeps looking at the quarterback that you have to keep paying, who you won't even commit to publicly. Because you can't commit to him publicly, because that would probably be, I can't call you a liar, it would be a stretching of the truth. So because of that, Cam Mitchell and Luke Whippler and Isaiah McGuire and especially DeJuan Jones, these are solid football players. I think that actually stands out as a pretty decent draft. I'll tell you that right now. But they have to be that much better because now they have to contribute with Jameis Winston or maybe Dorian Thompson-Robinson here over the second half of the season. You have a problem there. And I don't know if it's enough to save him moving forward, because if we feel this bad now, I can't imagine where the taste in our mouth is going to be coming up after December 29th or after the final game of the season against Baltimore.
The GMs that have built older, expensive teams, remember, they were the oldest starting roster in the league this year for the starters. They have, you know, young backups, but the starters were at an age where they were the oldest roster in the league for their starting group. Mm-hmm. When you're bad and expensive and old, those GMs get fired every time. Those GMs do not survive because they don't have a lot of wiggle room to turn it around.
Yeah.
And that's what Haslam needs now, so, is to turn this around. And Haslam does not want to bottom out, which is oftentimes it's the easy thing to do. You just get rid of all the older players. Haslam doesn't want to do that. So do you trust Barry to do this pivot in midair, which is in many ways harder? It's the hardest thing to do. Yes. It's easy to tear down.
Well,
just ask Sashi Brown. That's easy. Sell off everybody and tank for 2 years, 3 years. That's easy thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never understand why Sashi got so much credit for that. That's the easiest thing in the world to do. The hard thing is now doing what they're going to try to do, which is this delicate balancing act of staying good, vying for the playoffs every year, but then going from the oldest, most expensive roster in the league to something different that can still contend with the albatross of a quarterback and his contract still on the roster. That is going to be really, really hard, and I don't trust this GM to do it.
Let me ask you, well, there you go. I want to ask you point blank. Do you want to separate him from the Browns?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
See, I still don't.
At this point.
I still don't.
Well, is it just because you don't know what they're replacing him with?
That, But I also know that I don't have, like, what plan is he going to lay out for me that I know he ain't going to do that publicly? So what plan can he lay out that's going to give me confidence in him moving forward? Because I got to get this thing going. Like, we're giving all these ideas about, and I might go off on a tangent here. Like, I got asked in a message overnight, well, Ken, why don't we go after Trey Lance? So I already told you how I felt about Trey Lance. No one's talking about Trey Lance. Well, why don't we go after Justin Fields? Wait a minute. Your culture is not good right now. Your culture's not good. So we're going to take one of these guys and bring them in. How are we going to make our quarterback situation any better when we just keep bringing in bad quarterbacks? You know, Justin Fields, big defender of Justin Fields, I can't say anything about the guy anymore because they got rid of him or they put him on the bench in Pittsburgh and they somehow look better with Russell Wilson and they keep winning football games. Because I was saying, well, you don't want to remove a guy when you're winning football games. Nope, they removed the guy and they kept winning football games and they look even better offensively. You know, Trey Lance can't go through a progression. Trey Lance can't read off anybody and be able to find the right read and go. He wasn't able to do that. He wasn't able to do that in college. Certainly wasn't able to do that in San Francisco. And we're getting calls over this stuff. And I go, nope, we're going to have to go after a rookie quarterback that's going to put some faith in the fan base for the franchise. Do I trust the guy making that choice? Well, when you put this draft, which again, I like the 2023 draft. When I put that draft against three first-round picks and $230 million in a basket case, I got no argument. Give me an argument. I've had plenty of time over 2 and 7 to come up with different arguments because I like him and I don't want to fire him. But I can't give you a solid argument to say that he should be trusted with the future of the franchise. I can't do it. That's my dilemma. See, you say you would separate.
I just don't think it's much of a dilemma. It's not, everything you're saying is from a guy who would replace a GM.
That's my problem.
That's what someone who would want to replace Andrew Berry would say. Everything you just said is exactly what somebody who would move on from Andrew Berry would say.
I've known you a long time. We've done this a long time together. I'll sit there and I'll give you the 2020. This is how this is going to go. I guarantee this is going to play out. We know each other well. I'll give you this laundry list of players. You're going to go Deshaun Watson. And I'm going to give you the other laundry list of players. We'll go, hey, Martin Emerson, I know it's a rough year, but whatever. You know, he's been good, and maybe he'll be good again. Alex Wright, David Bell, Perry and Winfrey. Okay, Jerome, okay, maybe the 2022 draft wasn't that good. But then you get to, okay, Greg's been a good player. You can still spin him off for talent. You still have JOK. He's fantastic. I'm going to ignore Anthony Schwartz. James Hudson's a solid enough swing tackle, and then it kind of goes to hell after that. So it's gotten actually better as the years have gone on with some of the draft picks. You have to admit that. But again, you just put it up next to 230, three first-rounders, basket case. I got no argument. Justin Termini joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He is a comforting voice, and people have heard him a time or two on NBA Today on SiriusXM NBA Radio. Follow him on Twitter, at Termini Radio. Justin, how the hell are you?
Well, I'm not sure you should be crediting Kenny Atkinson. I mean, did you credit J.J. Redick? Because he started 4-4, and it seems like, you know, everybody, when he started 3-0, is going nuts about how he's the favorite to win Coach of the Year. He's the next Pat Riley and Phil Jackson and Red Auerbach. So, I mean, I would tone it down a little bit on the 9-0 start for Kenny Atkinson.
Well, someone needs to send Justin the clip of me during about last night where it seemingly someone said I emptied the clip on J.J. Redick during about last night.
I want to know how, Justin, this is so typical of you, East Coast, West Coast. I mean, one of these days, the elections have got to convince you guys to start paying attention to the Midwest. I mean, how you refocus this conversation at J.J. Redick we've got a 9-0 team. Come on, keep it focused, Termini.
I mean, do you not understand in the Midwest? Do you not understand sarcasm? I was taking a little bit of a shot at the places where I'm from, the coast.
See, another condescending platitude from the elites from the West Coast and East Coast. All right, Justin, 9-0. We are having a frank discussion about whether or not it's coach or the players. And I said the players got to be given some credit here because clearly Darius Garland has taken his game to another level. He took a lot of the stuff pretty personally, the rumored trade stuff last year that was out there. You've got Jared Allen as consistent as can be, Mobley continually adding to his game, and Donovan kind of allowing it all to percolate. And we're having a kind of the only problem we're having is who do we give the credit to, Atkinson or the players?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a combination of both. And I look at Donovan Mitchell, and you said the perfect thing when you described him, allowing it to take place. I think it's the fewest shots that he's taken in several years, if not since his rookie year. He's allowing these guys to shine. He's getting them involved. And that's something that I had been critical with Donovan Mitchell in the past on, is not allowing some of these other guys to shine. And I would say, like, he's at the top. But then after that, you know, who is even the next guy? Is it Garland? Is it Jared Allen? Because fantastic. Is it Evan Mobley? I mean, you've got a case where you've got four guys, and maybe Boston's the only team. Like OKC, you can say there's three guys. Boston, you can say there's four, maybe sometimes five. And that's if Porzingis is healthy, where you can make an argument they're all stars. I think you can do that with Cleveland with four guys, and I wouldn't even know the order behind Donovan Mitchell.
Justin Termini with us on the hotline. So, will we boil it down? Like, their record is 9-0. I did have the crack staff on it. Strength of schedule. It's one of the easiest so far in the league. 22-49, the teams they've played. So how much do you take that into consideration when you're power ranking all the best teams in the league, and certainly the teams in the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, I mean, 9-0 is still 9-0, and you see other teams that are dropping games to teams that they should be beating. So, I mean, you give them credit for that. Nine wins isn't easy, and they still got some. I mean, last night, wasn't a great win, but you also had some. You know, they beat the Knicks right on the road. They beat the Lakers, who at the time were relatively hot. They beat the Bucks twice, who were supposed to be good. So, I mean, you give them credit for that. And also, I don't think that it's a fluke, because at the beginning of the season, I had them as the second best team in the Eastern Conference. So it's not like it's something that people didn't see coming. I know there were some other people that were very high on them as well. So it's not a shock. Like, this is what they kind of should be doing. And also, they should have a fast start. They don't have the continuity with the coach, but they have the continuity with the players. And I think that's something that helps out significantly.
Justin Termini joining us on the show. Can we talk finals?
With the Cavaliers being involved, or you want to look back at
No, with the main Red Claws being involved. Yes, with the Cavaliers being involved. Can we talk finals?
So I always felt like I was high on them in the regular season, and I thought maybe once we get to the postseason, maybe not as much. But you start out 9-0, and I don't see why you shouldn't talk about it. If you can't talk about it now, when are you going to be able to? So, yeah, I guess you can talk about the finals.
That sounds like just taking advantage of timing to take advantage of timing here. I'm talking about whether or not that this is a team that could approach and or beat Boston, or is that just too early?
Boston's not the healthiest team. I've had reservations about Boston dating back to last year for a couple of different reasons. One is the health of Porzingis. Two is the fact that you got Tatum, Drew Holiday, who's 34, and Derek White playing in the Olympics, which I don't think should be taking place with any of these.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
These guys. And then they go to Abu Dhabi to start the year after a long run last season. So I could certainly see Boston fatiguing, come April, May, and June. Now, do I think Boston's more talented than them? Yeah, I think Boston's the better team if everybody's healthy and clicking. I would favor Boston in the series. But in regards to looking at the other teams, all right, we've already seen Cleveland, we've already seen Philadelphia sort of drop out of the mix here. Embiid will be back, but if they're going to be a sixth or a seventh seed, which I think they will be, and have to face like Boston in the first round, they could lose. Plus, you're not going to have any continuity with them. They got to get reps together. Milwaukee's a disaster. New York's going to have some issues defensively, I think, with Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns. So you can start like knocking off some of the other teams already that you thought were going to be threats, and certainly talk about Cleveland as a team that, you know, possibly could make the finals if you think they only have to get by one team, and that would be Boston.
Now, Justin Termini with us on the hotline. The Cavs have certainly been a really good, especially when healthy, regular season team. And in fact, last year, even when they weren't healthy, they had a 17-1 stretch. So I do think there is some conversation out there that the Cavs have been and will continue to be a good regular season team. How good does it need to be in the regular season to convince people that, yes, they can do it in the playoffs? Because as we saw last year, I mean, they almost got knocked off by the upstart Orlando Magic. And they did lose 2 years ago to the New York Knicks, which was a surprising, downing experience.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's nothing they can do to convince people, right?
So it just really is the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, because people are always going to, first of all, like for several years, like Harden would dominate in a regular season, win an MVP, and people still said, they're not going to do anything in the postseason, right? So that's a regular season team. So that's one reason. And then the second reason, people are always going to look at the names. And, you know, as good as the Cavaliers are, I think it's like it's a group thing, right? It's not, oh, they have Embiid. Oh, they have Giannis. Oh, they have Luka. It's going to have to be proven in the postseason. I don't think any record that you throw up there is going to convince people.
I was listening to the show before you yesterday. Antonio Daniels, who, if I'm not mistaken, is on the television broadcast with the New Orleans Pelicans. With the Pelicans, was saying that he was going to be paying special attention to Evan Mobley. How close of attention have you been able to pay to Evan Mobley? It's early in the season. And if you have, is he taking that step towards being that quote-unquote unicorn that we've been waiting for?
I think he has. I picked him at the start of the year to be, so I was high on the Cavs. I picked him to be my two seed. I actually threw down, I'm very cheap, but you can gamble here in Boston where I'm living. So I threw $50 down on the Cavaliers. I only did that with one other team, the under on the Spurs. That's how confident I was in Cleveland to do well. And I can't bet on the awards because I have a vote. But my prediction on the air was Evan Mobley is the most improved player. And right now I love what Kenny Atkinson, that's where I'll give Atkinson credit. The one area I was down on J.B. Bickerstaff, even though he changed the culture there, was I didn't think they involved him more enough in the offense. I think they're doing that this year from what I've seen. And obviously we know what he is defensively. So yeah, I think he is kind of taking that next step, and I'll credit Kenny Atkinson a lot for that.
All right, looking around the NBA, Justin, LeBron had 39 points, and he's 39 years old. And I kind of looked to Ken earlier in the show, and I'm like, do we just not care anymore? He's so good that it gets boring talking about him at his age, and we've done it for the last 5 years, that it's still happening and that he could maybe even do it next year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see when it's going to end. Which is annoying as a guy that's not necessarily rooting for him. I mean, what I would say is I want to see it within a good offense. Like if you go, and I did a big thing on this last year. If you look at his offenses in LA, they've all stunk. They're brutal offenses.
Yeah, but does it even matter? Like they're not going to win the championship. So can't we just marvel at him doing this at age 39? Do you really care if it works in the confines of an offense of a team that's probably going to be fighting for a 9 seed?
I mean, if that's what they tell us the goal is, then I have to hold them accountable to what the goal is, right? And they're telling us they're going to compete for a championship. Like, that's what they want to do. So, I mean, if you're looking at it through that prism. But, no, I mean, listen, what he's doing is unprecedented. He's arguably the greatest player of all time, and he's certainly the best player at this age of all time.
Are they actually going to move Giannis in Milwaukee?
I mean, he's going to have to demand it, right? Just like if you had a star in Cleveland, a place that it's not easy to get one, the star of the, you know, the magnitude of
not easy to get one. I feel like we have four right now.
Yeah, we have a bunch.
Jeez, we have too many.
They're falling out of our pockets.
We have too many, Justin.
We already went over this. You have, you know, four very good players. Donovan Mitchell, who's, you know, a future Hall of Famer.
Who once said that Rudy Gobert was better.
Well, I mean, Rudy Gobert has had a massive impact on his team over the years as well, and I thought Rudy Gobert was more important to what Utah was doing than Donovan Mitchell. That doesn't mean that I think Rudy Gobert right now is better than Donovan Mitchell.
Oh, so you just moved the goalposts on yourself. All right, that's fine.
No, I mean, things change each year. The impact that Donovan Mitchell was having this year in Cleveland is different than the impact that he was having in Houston.
Well, Kobe was playing the long game on that one. I mean, good God, which player would you rather have for the longer term, Rudy Gobert or Donovan Mitchell? I'd rather have Donovan Mitchell.
Well, I'd rather have Donovan Mitchell. I agree with you.
Okay.
But going back to what we were talking about before you interrupted me with your own stupid side.
Well, it wasn't stupid. Care. I was just pointing out your own stupidity.
Yeah. Well, I was.
Sometimes it takes stupidity to point out stupidity. Go ahead, Justin.
Listen, I'm not even feeling well, and I get up early to do this spot with you for free, sans of charge, and you're trying to make me look like
I've offered you coffee many times
to the four people that are listening. But you know, you've got. You know, when you have a guy like Giannis, they haven't had one since Kareem, right? You don't get a star like that. You guys had one of them. You had LeBron, that's it. You don't just trade the guy. So he's got to demand a trade.
So why are all these rumors coming out? Is he trying to put feelers out there
because
then?
The NBA media doesn't want to talk about the games. They want to talk about the other stupid stuff. They want to talk about a guy demanding a trade. They want to put him in Miami or L.A. so they can talk about the huge market. They want to talk about, you know, Embiid punching somebody out. They want to talk about Kyrie saying something stupid or Harden, you know, doing something dumb. You don't want to talk about the game. This is an easy way not to talk about the games.
Oddly, I was going to ask you about Joel Embiid and the shoving incident.
Well, I'm happy that they suspended him because if they set a precedent that you could, you know, basically maul reporters, then I'd have about 50 players going at me right now.
How many players have actually tried to physically assault you?
Not enough.
Nobody has tried to physically assault me.
Threatened.
Threatened? Well, I mean, there's been people that have sent messages they don't like what I'm saying, and I say, what are you going to do about it? And they do nothing, so...
There,
I challenge them.
You remember there was actually real Xavier P in Twinsburg did a back and forth with Justin, and I was like, oh,
we can set it up.
That's a former Marine.
Yeah, we can set it up if you want, Justin.
Oh, well, listen, I freely admit that I'm all talk. I couldn't do anything physically. I'm a massive coward.
Justin Termini.
Justin, before you go, give us one other maybe surprising or interesting story around the NBA right now. I mean, Golden State is sitting there. We're taking them on. They're a shell of themselves in terms of the roster, but they've only got one loss, and we've got a big showdown on Friday. What else around the NBA is interesting to you right now?
Well, I mean, you just gave me one in Golden State. I saw them play in person last night. I'm stunned because I didn't even have him in my top 10 in the Western Conference if they were healthy. Then they lose Steph for three games. They win all three of those games. They go into Boston last night. Granted, there's no Porzingis and there's no Jaylen Brown, but still, they beat them rather soundly. And their defense looks amazing. Like they were all over Tatum last night. The fact he was able to put up 30 points was amazing. So you got that one. I mean, they have another good 2 weeks and they guarantee themselves almost of a top 10 seed. That's how, you know, a 7-1, 10-1, something start like that. And you'll see them, I think, in a couple of days because I think they have Cleveland in the next game or two. So you'll get a look at them. And then the other one is they won last night in Denver. But I always reference a quote that David Griffin gave when he was there in Cleveland and he was the GM for LeBron, right? He said, like, we're basically in charge of the legacy of Babe Ruth. We owe him to make sure that we give him an opportunity to win every single year, right? So that was his philosophy when you guys had LeBron in Cleveland. They have not followed that philosophy in Denver. What they're doing surrounding Jokic is a travesty and an embarrassment to him. And unfortunately, they're cheaping out, which makes, you know, you guys have Dan Gilbert up there. Dan Gilbert has put the money in, so you got to appreciate that. To me, he's one of the better owners of the sport because he did that. They're not doing that in Denver, and that's preventing Jokic from winning more championships when he's clearly the best player in the league right now.
Justin, thank you for the time. All the best.
Yeah.
Justin Termini, SiriusXM NBA Radio, NBA Twitter. Follow him on Twitter on NBA Radio on SiriusXM, and follow him on Twitter at Termini Radio.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Denny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
Well, now that it's getting dark at like 3:30, just like that, running around, driving around, getting errands done, I'm noticing something in my neighborhood, and I'm wondering if it's similar in yours, because obviously we live in very different places. I'm seeing the Christmas lights already up and illuminated, Kenny. Yep. So I know you and your family, you basically bypass Thanksgiving. You don't even believe it exists.
No, I'm tired of fighting for Thanksgiving when Thanksgiving won't fight for itself. I'm like a bitter Browns fan when it comes to Thanksgiving. I fought for you for years and I give up.
So are you like those people in my community? Are you already ready to go with the Christmas lights?
Yeah, I'm getting ready to put them up on Sunday. We have a family gathering on Saturday for a joint birthday party between my mother-in-law and my son, which sounds like they're going to fight each other, for both of them.
Well, it's a gathering.
Yeah, grandma versus grandson. It's going to be a punch palace at the Carmen household. And then on Sunday and probably Monday, I'm going to, because I got 2 days, I'm going to put up the Christmas lights.
Well, I've always thought, like, you could clearly see the Christmas, unless you just put one of those lights.
The big spotlight,
changes colors or whatever, which I always think look nice. I'm being told now in later in life, it's very tacky. I don't know. You be the judge of that.
I think that's in now.
Is it really? Because it's the easiest thing to do.
What are you talking about? Like, well, there's like, my neighbor has like
a projector onto your house.
Oh, no. I thought you meant like.
I, as a kid, thought that was the coolest thing in the world. And as I got older, people were like, ooh, yeah, we don't do that.
I thought you meant the big spotlights in different colors. Like, I got a neighbor and he does like a different strobe thing and it's kind of nice. Either way, I'm sorry. I missed it up.
Well, that's called a rave, Ken.
No, yeah, I mean, those have been fun in my life.
I'm fine with you putting up your lights this weekend when it's the Browns bye week. You've got some downtime. What I'm not fine with, when I drove home the other night and four houses down from me, their lights are on already. And I know you're right. It's dark at 5:30 now. But it's also November. It was November 5th. And we had Christmas lights on. The only one on the street.
It does seem like the more elaborate these lighting systems are, people want to get their bang for their buck. Yeah. They don't want to just do it in the month of December.
Well, this was not an elaborate scheme. This was I know my child said he went by the house and they had 10 guys out there, so they must have paid somebody to come help them, or you know, family, friends or whatever, but it happened almost overnight. It was over afternoon. They did it in one day during the middle of the week, and then I see Christmas lights on a day when it is unseasonably warm, but it was 78 degrees as I'm driving by.
That's what makes it weird. That does feel out of place. The fact that it is so warm, it's so nice out, that leaves are still on the trees in many places.
I can appreciate you, Ken, putting up your lights this week, and you cannot turn them on.
I thought about that.
Wow, that is interesting.
I think the weather's got to turn a little bit. I think it's got to get a little crisper outside. It was a little warm earlier last week, and I got to admit, when it's in the 70s, I mean, it was 78 one day earlier this week. And I'm going, nah, this ain't the time for Christmas lights. I have to admit, I think you're right. Now, if it were to be, is there a day it's going to be like 50 next week?
I'm looking right now. The lows will get to 46, 42, 47,
well,
45.
Well, lows are overnight. I'm 39. Not out there at night.
Yeah, but at the same time, like you do think when those lights go on and it's 8 o'clock at night, you know, that there could be a chill in the air. But the highs are still going to be in the mid to upper 50s for another week.
We're going to have to move the calendar at some point. Like, this is going to have to be October. We're going to have to make a concerted effort to put an extra month in one of these years and just move the calendar. And this will be, I think I'm serious about this. This will be October. Next month will be November.
I'll just change the name of it.
And move them forward a month.
That's what we do with the clocks. They just call it a different time.
The weather is changing. And if I can't get, I mean, it'll be the 15th. Friday the 15th will be 53 degrees, high of 53. I might turn them on then.
Well, it is great to. Is there something about the nostalgia of putting up your lights and you're in a light windbreaker, maybe? You're not fully coated up where it would be, you know, in years past, it'd be 38, 40 degrees right now, and you're spending the day outside in the. Mm-hmm. chilly temperatures.
But not only that, Owen, it's the fact what I am blown away by is these people that had their incredibly comprehensive Halloween decorations, that would normally take how long to take those down? Like, it's a lot to do.
Putting them up is way worse than taking them down.
Okay,
but, taking them down, you can rip them off right there if you really want to go crazy with it.
But my point is, they're not just doing that. They're taking that down, and then either on the same day or the very next day, the Christmas stuff is going up. And I'm like, doesn't anybody work anymore? I'm amazed that people have the time to do all this.
That's your new half hour you've been working on.
That is.
I'll tell you this.
And the storage. Where do they have the storage? That's what I'm blown away by.
When you are the first person to take down those lights on any decoration, usually Halloween and Christmas are the big ones, you feel like you are the best person ever, and that's when you really smell your own farts, and that's like you are satisfied. I had to drive to Northwest real quick. I had to drive to Canal Fulton. I woke up Saturday morning and I took down my Halloween decorations. November 2nd, these are going down. Get rid of them. It was 8 a.m., got rid of them, got in the car, drove out there because I couldn't take my truck because I backed into a fire hydrant. Drove out to Canal Fulton, and I mean, I'm passing on. Wow, your Halloween decorations are still up? You're just going to leave these Halloween decorations?
All of a sudden.
Saturday morning, 9 a.m., Halloween decorations are just still up, huh? Okay. All right, just you're fine with letting your entire neighborhood's property values go down? That's something. Okay. All right. The sense of satisfaction you get.
Next year we got to put a levy out there.
Yeah. It's a smug
feeling.
Take
down your lights. That's the levy.
Just that. Yeah. Hey.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.